Welcome back to Extra Innings with Bill Lasky, and my guest today is a former teammate of mine. Matter of fact, we started professional baseball together with Kansas City Royals, and he's doing a lot of good things, and we'll talk about that, but I want to bring him into the show. Let's welcome in Buddy Biancolana. Buddy, how are you?
I am really great, Bill. So nice to hear from you, and yeah, we go back a ways, don't we?
We sure do, and it was 1978, and I'll start off with this story. You know, I was out of college, and you're going to laugh when I start bringing up Craig Pippen and Jeff Hanover and Tony Vila, and all the college pitchers were there, and, you know, we signed right out in June, right, and we get to Sarasota, which was the complex of, you know, where we're way the Academy of Baseball Kansas City Royals had, and we were waiting for the top three picks to sign. And the first guy that gets picked, we're all in the locker room, Bill Swiacki. Well, who's this guy? High school pitcher. Next couple days, we watch him. He's throwing 100 miles an hour, and he couldn't throw a strike. And we're like, wow, he's got a cannon for an arm. Then the next day, Daryl Motley. And here's a little Hulk mania. He was built like the Hulk. And we see him coming out of high school out of Oregon, and he just is hitting bombs. Boom, he's hitting. And we're like, wow, that guy's tough. Then the number one signing, first signer, Buddy Biancolana. We're like, who's Buddy Biancolana? High school out of Green Bay, California. Went to Redwood High School in Larkspur. And we're like, wow, California kid. And you came out there. You didn't hit. You came out there, played shortstop. And every pitcher was like, wow, gold glove. Wow, look at him at second base. Wow, look at his arm. But you were the first round draft pick. And that's where I want to start. When you came out of high school, how much pressure was that immediately on you as being that first pick, especially with the Kansas City Royals?
Quite a bit. You know, I was blessed to have a really good high school coach, Al Endres, who actually played in the Dodger organization and also was a running back for the 49ers for a short period of time. So as far as understanding the game, knowing the game, I felt like I was really, really prepared. So that was great. But, yeah, being a first-round pick and – you know, the expectations that came in their way, and I think 148 pounds. You didn't mention that. But that's the truth. You guys are probably saying, this guy was a first-round pick. What in the world is John Schultz and Dick Baldwin and all those other people in the Royals organization thinking about? But, yeah, you know, there's always pressure. It's always self-induced. But, you know, I struggled, Bill, in the minor leagues, as you know. But eventually, the light went on, and I figured things out and was able to get to the big leagues. And
so let me ask you, buddy, you're throwing those names out there. You remember most of them, don't you?
I do. Mark Ryle, Tony Vila, that's a name I never would have thought of.
Yeah.
But you brought it back up here. So, yeah.
Craig Pippen. He was another one of our buds, you know. Yeah.
And you came out of Kent State, right? And Craig Pippen I saw last week in Washington, D.C. So.
Wow, that's great. I mean, the friendships go on and on. And I talked to Tony. Tony ended up going back to Miami, Florida. He coached with the college for a while, and then he kind of got out of the game. He got injured, of course, in a very weird accident. In Sarasota, he got jumped at a 7-11, and he never came out of it, you know. And there were some really hard times in Sarasota. We were so far out in the academy, there wasn't much to do. And, you know, you remember that back in the day before we even got there, they used to do classroom academies there. That's when they used to – you have to go in there and had classrooms. And, you know, that was before us. And that was the UL Washington and the Frank White days. Tell me a little bit about that whole complex that you remember.
Oh, my God, you're right. State Road 72, you know, off of 41. And it was probably, I don't know, 5 miles off of 41. It was a dark road. And I remember driving up and down that road in my new Trans Am that I bought.
Yeah.
And, we had those two ponds. I think there might have been some alligators in those ponds on the campus there. And there was Frida who, you know, she ran the cafeteria. You know, we had a lot of laughs in that cafeteria
at dinner
time. Yep. And it was just great to, you know, those are really fun times. And, you know, we were a long way away from the big leagues in those days. But we had a lot of laughs, a lot of good time. And, you know, we were doing our best every day in that hot heat of rookie ball to get better. You moved out of there pretty quickly, as I recall. You didn't have to
Yeah, I got lucky. I got there was some injuries in Jacksonville, Florida, and I proceeded to go to Double A the last month of the year, and I was like a lost deer going to Double A. I had no friends. I didn't know anybody on the team, and I was the rookie of the college kid that, oh, hey, you can pitch. Go sit in the bullpen. We'll call your name in a couple weeks. I never really pitched much there. But you know what? It was all growing, and you know what you did in the minor leagues, what I did in minor leagues. The Kansas City organization really taught us a lot about baseball, and I think that's what you and I both can say about this minor leagues. I had Bill Fisher as a pitching coach, the sergeant. You know, when he talked, you listened, and I'm sure you remember Gene Lamont and some of the other Jose Martinez. We did have good instruction. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, we did. Jose Martinez, boy, he was tough on me. He was former Cuban infielder. And he was the rookie ball manager, and boy, he worked me hard every single day. And then he was the major league first base coach when I made it to the big leagues. And but was really, really grateful for the way that he just every day stayed on me to help me build good habits. So very blessed to have people like Jose, Gene Lamont. I had managed me for 3 years. I remember one time we got into a real knockdown drag out on the field in Double A. I was having a terrible year, and tempers were flaring, but it was, kind of a fun thing as I look back on it now. But Gino was great, and he ended up managing the big leagues for quite some time, I think with Pittsburgh and Detroit as well. Joe Jones and others that we had, but the Royals did things well. You know, they really knew how to develop players, and they were very committed to the long haul of developing minor leaguers, and they weren't too active in the free agent market in those days, and they therefore had some success.
Buddy Biancolana joining me on Extra Innings. Let's talk about your career. You got through the minor leagues. You ended up getting up to the big leagues in 1982, toward the end of the year, September. And you ended up really doing well. In 1985, you were part of the World Series team of the Kansas City Royals. You ended up playing in 14 post games at shortstop. And another one of our friends, Oney Concepcion, was the guy that ended up getting hurt, and you ended up jumping in there. Your reflection on getting to the big leagues, and how important was it when you got there?
Well, boy, you know, as growing up, I think every young baseball player, a lot of young baseball players really, you know, they have the desire to play in the major leagues, and I was no different. I knew at 5 years old I wanted to play Major League Baseball. And, you know, I'll never forget getting called to the big leagues, getting called into Joe Sparks, the AAA manager's office in Omaha, and him telling me I was going to the big leagues. Like, whoa, I was blown away. I'll never forget driving up on I-70 there in Kansas City, you know, and looking down at the stadium there in the orange seats, and it was just an amazing sight. I'd never seen it before, and walked through the glass doors and, you know, got my uniform on and went on the field. And, you know, the first time on a major league field can be a bit daunting. And, but, you know, was able to do what I needed to do and you know, spend a little time in the major leagues. And so it was just, you know, playing in the World Series was really beyond anything I ever imagined. I tell the story that, you know, I always wanted to play in the big leagues. And, you know, even when I got to the big leagues, I could never fathom playing in the World Series. And all of a sudden, there I was sitting in my locker before game one of the World Series in 1985, thinking, what in the world? You know, how am I going to go do this? I had a wave of fear really came upon me just prior to having to go down to the dugout, wait for introductions. And I literally had, the feeling I couldn't catch a ground ball. I was just like paralyzed with the fear but sat there with it and went out and played arguably the best baseball of my life.
And you did. You were error-free, and you played so sensational shortstop. And I always talk about your accuracy with your arm. The backhand is always the thing that I remembered, how quick your hands were and up the middle. Your agility on the field was spectacular. And of course, your hitting. You know, you weren't a 300 hitter, but you did make good contact. But what happened during that World Series is late night with David Letterman kind of came after you and started picking on you, and they called it the Buddy Biancolana hit counter, and I loved it. I remember that so well, and I remember you going on David Letterman, and you really were star-studded. Tell us a little bit about that whole story.
Yeah, it was actually started in August. We were in Chicago playing, and it was when Pete Rose was chasing Ty Cobb's hit record, and David, you know, someone decided to do a little gig where they had a hit counter, and they had a picture of Pete with 4,000 some odd hits, and they had a picture of me with 50 some odd hits. And so every now and then he'd bring it out on the show and say, let's check the box scores. Pete had two hits, and he'd hit the hit counter and said, oh, and Buddy had a hit. You know, and he'd hit the hit counter, and, you know. So it kind of culminated, you know, all of a sudden we got in the World Series, and then I was having a good series, and, you know, kind of one thing led to another, and it got me on the show, which was really a fun experience. And, you know, just a great, great time in my life, just a peak moment of my entire life that, you know, it seems like lifetimes ago, but, was very, very blessed to be able to experience something like that.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Well, what we're going to talk about next is I think all parents and kids, especially high school and college kids, and even pro players, they've worked with you on it. And it's the mental game. It's getting in the zone, experiencing the zone. We've all done it. I did it. You've done it. Professional players do it daily. But the problem is to separate it. Separate it from the physical side to the mental side. So I'm going to throw it to you, just a general question on how did you get started with this, and tell us a little bit about it.
Well, my zone experience in the World Series was just a remarkable experience. I literally had the feeling that I couldn't do anything wrong, even if I tried. Everything just slowed down for me. I wasn't thinking, and you know, everything I did was very fluid and effortless, and every throw I made came out of my hand like, you know, with butter off a hot knife, I like to say, and you choose my words very carefully, every single ground ball in the seven-game series hit me right in the sweet spot of the glove. There was even one experience out in shallow left field, a ball kicked away from our second baseman, Frank White, on a stolen base attempt, and I ran to left center field to retrieve it, and I picked it up and just kind of wheeled and made a throw back to second base. It was no big deal. Anybody can make that play. But at the moment, it kind of hit me. I felt like, geez, you know what? I feel like I could have kicked the ball to him. And it was like a remarkable force that I was feeling, experience. And so that was the zone experience. And then 18 months later, Bill, I was out of the major leagues. I just didn't understand what happened in my mind that allowed my full ability to rise to the surface. Because a lot of people thought I played over my head in the World Series. And I was like wondering, maybe I did. But I realize now through all my research and studies that we've done and working with athletes in many different sports that I didn't play over my head. I was just able to access my full ability. Mm-hmm. And so we've quantified what happens in the brain when an athlete is playing in the zone or anybody is locked in doing anything, whether you're a radio broadcaster, you're a salesperson. I work with executives now and a lot of athletes. In helping that state that I experienced in the World Series to become our default state, to be our natural state, which it is our natural state. And it's all a matter of how information is flowing through the brain and, you know, how the nervous system is responding. So that's kind of my area of work. I hate to even call it work because I just absolutely love doing it. It's never worked for me. And I'm just blessed to do something that even I need. I mean, the beautiful thing about teaching what I teach is it helps me stay where I need to stay in a good state of mind daily in my life, like we all want.
And the athlete, buddy, it's so reminiscent of always physical activity. It's always, you know, Reaper, you know, it's always give me the ball, hit me another one, you know, and what happens is you forget about your brain thinking, and the brain is so powerful and it does so much. And as a pitcher, you're thinking about the next pitch. As a hitter, you're thinking what the pitch is going to be next. And there's so many mind games in the game of baseball. It goes back and forth constantly, and it changes by the pitch, by the inning, by the out. And that's what I think what you're trying to do is slow that motion down in your brain and try to understand it. So how do you do that? How do you express to athletes that your brain is just as part as of your physicality? So how are you trying to more or less make that parallel?
Well, the beautiful thing is that what we teach is not a philosophy. It's all based on neuroscience. So an athlete, they don't need to buy in. They just need to do what I tell them to do. And they have the realization, oh, my gosh, this must be my priority. And through all the research and all the anecdotal evidence as well that we have, I can tell you that anytime the physical mechanic, which is important, mechanics are very important and they need to be taught, but anytime the physical mechanic or the desired result, throw the strike, hit the ball, et cetera, becomes a priority for the brain, it creates a muscle imbalance. And so the muscles will not fire synchronistically. But when you start to learn how the brain functions and systematically start to access what we call the middle of the brain and the back of the brain, then all the muscles can start to fire synchronistically, and the motion starts to get stored in the middle of the brain. And then you're able to access it on a more consistent basis. So therefore, you're able to avoid a prolonged slump, and you do it in a healthy manner. What's happened, we talk about injuries here for a moment, you know, the more that our industry is, you know, understood and went to teach, you know, really good pitching mechanics, which is really important to be taught, what's happened is we've seen an increase in injuries. And the reason is that anytime a mechanic becomes the priority for the brain, it becomes, you know, there's a muscle imbalance. The muscles will not fire synchronistically. They'll start to pull on ligaments and tendons and bones, therefore causing injuries. Mm-hmm. But when the brain is in the right state and you start to teach those mechanics based on physics, which is what's being taught now, which is great, then you can do it in a healthy manner and prevent the injuries. That makes sense?
I think it does, because I'm the athlete, because I'm listening to exactly what you're saying, and you're 100% right, and you have factual evidence. And, you know, I'm reading on zonemotion.com. You know, I've been reading this ever since you and I started talking this week. And the players, professionally, amateur, pitching, hitters, golf, you know, some of the people that you worked with, the testimonials are there. I mean, they are actually saying, no, you know, I am here to be trained. And once I'm trained, it's easier on me. It's easier lightheaded. It's I'm more focus. And I think that's what you want to hear back from them. Am I right?
Oh, exactly right. And really, when I first started teaching this, Bill, I didn't know what that guy was doing. I just knew it worked. And then started speaking to neuroscientists and started to understand the brain and started doing my own research, four studies / research projects, and started to really understand what it is we're doing and why we were seeing just, you know, really crazy off the chart success. We saw in our first 11 professional pitchers showed an average increase in strikeout to walk ratio of 57%. I was blown away. You know, my first four professional hitters, three of them were independent league hitters, one major leaguer / triple A guy. They showed an average increase of 79 points of batting average. I'm thinking, how is that? How did that happen? And then I realized we're teaching them how to access the origin of their motion, which is the brain. And so once you learn how to access the origin of your motion, you're better able to achieve your desired result because you're going right to the origin. And you know, it's like having access to the root of a tree, then you have a chance for a healthy tree. But if the root of the tree is disease, you don't even know it. You're wondering, why doesn't my tree look pretty? Why doesn't it look good? Right? Same thing with motion. Why am I not performing? Why am I not performing? Well, let's see. Let's go to the root, which is the brain and the nervous system, and let's work there, and we'll work on the mechanics simultaneously, which is important. This is not a substitute for mechanical coaching at all, but it's a very complementary piece and really the most important piece. I can, you know, say that without a shadow of a doubt.
That voice you hear in Extra Innings is Buddy Biancolana, zonemotion.com, as he talks about the mental and physical side of being an athlete. And the problem sometimes, Buddy, is the negative thoughts that always enter your brain, always thinking negative instead of the positive. You always think about failure before you think about, hey, I can do this. How do you change that, and how does that work for an athlete?
That's a great question. And I've had a few conversations the last few days about, you know, positive thinking. And even before I knew what I know now, years ago, you'd hear so much about positive thinking. I said, you know what, I'm not interested in positive thinking. What I'm interested in is what's causing the negative thoughts. And so what I know now is this energy is just stagnant in the nervous system, and that's what's leading to the negative thoughts. So working with that is important. So what we initially do is train the athlete, first of all, how to access these processes of the brain so it's no longer a mystery how to repeat the motion, right? Quite often, you know, you pitch well on Tuesday and your next start on whatever, Monday, you know, you're in and out of it. So what the heck happened between Tuesday and Monday? You didn't forget your motion, so what did happen? Well, what happened is something very subtle in the brain and the nervous system that caused the difference in the outings. And so working at that level through, you know, using drills and concepts that are literally undeniable once they have the neurophysiological experience, they know for sure, oh, this is how I access my full ability. All right. Does it mean I'm going to bat 1,000? No. Does it mean I'm going to know how to bat 1,000? Yes. right? And so when you have that deep knowing, which then breeds sustainable confidence, right? Sustainable confidence, knowing without a shadow of a doubt how the brain and body works, then you have a chance to really avoid the prolonged slumps. Your misses are not going to be as bad. And believe it or not, the process in the brain that we teach actually increases serotonin and oxytocin, which, you know, blew me away once I learned that. So you're feeling better. So when we make feeling better the priority of these processes of the brain, not only are we achieving our ultimate desire in life, because we all want to feel good with everything we're doing, we're better able to achieve our outer desires, whether you're interviewing people on the radio or you're swinging a golf club or a baseball bat.
Well, one of the things Buddy Bianco and I were talking about in zonemotion.com, is it all sports? Is it just baseball? Is it golf? Can it be worked on all different kind of sports?
Absolutely. Yeah, I've worked in over 20 sports, and I've worked with athletes in 13 pro sports. And I now realize I'd get very bored if I just worked in one sport. So I feel, you know, I feel so blessed to be able to get, you know, work a wide variety of sports and meet so many different people. And I've recently started working in the corporate arena with salespeople, which I always knew there was an application, but I didn't really understand how to do that. Now, really, we understand that the value to salespeople is really immense. When a salesperson can understand how much more effective they can be when they are naturally, you know, their instincts are just taking over. They're naturally more empathetic, right, without having to try to be or fake it. But when they can really detach from, you know, that commission that may be hanging out there, and when they really understand how the brain-body connection works and how the nervous system works and start to really train it so that their natural instincts take over, that's very, very valuable for a salesperson.
That's awesome. How can people get a hold of you, buddy? What's the best way they can get in touch with you?
Thank you for asking. They can email me at buddy@zonemotion.com. Or they can access that through zonemotion.com as well, and they can find me that way. And happy to speak to anybody that they feel that if they feel I could benefit them.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And it's not just the athlete; it's the parents wanting to get the edge, get the little more positive ways on their athletes and their sons. And you know, you always hear parents, you know, the kid has a bad day and he comes home, and instead of understanding what to do, they either get in an argument or it's a negative output. And this tells me a lot. It tells me a lot what you're trying to do to the athlete to build the self-confidence in the physical side, but the mental side. And I really appreciate your time today.
Yeah, well, thank you for your time. Thanks for your interest, Bill, and great to connect with you as always.
Buddy Bianco, great stuff, and you know, keep it going, bud. You're on the right path with this, and you know, when you go to this zonemotion.com and read the testimonials, as I've been doing all week, it really makes you think. And let me tell you, Buddy Bianco is sincere in what he does. He's a good man, and I hope you guys, fans at least out there, take a look at this, because it's a positive thing for your kid as well as an athlete. So, Buddy, again, thanks for your time on Extra Innings, and we'll be in touch.
All right. Appreciate it, Bill.
All right. That was Buddy Biancolana and Extra Innings. More coming up next on KNBR, the sports leader.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.